We come today in our study of the book of Psalms to Psalm 101. It's entitled A Psalm of David. And it becomes obvious as we go through this psalm that here is David's resolution to walk with God, even though he's the king. And here are his plans for the kingdom. And he says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He wants to sing of God's mercy and God's justice. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He's going to set a good example in the palace with his family. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. He's going to definitely have a godly kingdom. And then he says, a perverse heart, the old English is froward, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. This means that as he chooses his counselors now, there's going to be a good bit about them. He's going to reject the folks that are sinful and perverse. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look, proud, I will not suffer. I'll not put up with him. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land. These are the folks to whom he's looking for counsel now. That they may dwell with me. The close counselor lived in the palace with the king. They'll dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. These are the counselors that he is choosing. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. He's going to get rid of such people. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. He's going to suppress and put down wickedness as it's in his power to do so. Here's the godly man whom God has put in the palace. And here again is his resolution and his plans to have a godly kingdom. He's going to use his influence, we'd say, to promote that which is godly. Christians should do that too. Now, in Psalm 102, much longer psalm, we're going to have the problem of the psalmist, unnamed, as he is afflicted, as he's in trouble, as he seems to be overwhelmed. And in his trouble and difficulty and sickness, he turns to God. And he says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. God, be with me. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me, which means, God, listen to me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. And then he talks about his problem. My days are consumed like smoke. He thinks of his life as just smoke to be blown away. My bones are burned as on hearth. That may mean fever, but the point is his health is gone. My heart is smitten and withered like grass. He's sick, so that I forget to eat my bread. He's sometimes too sick to be hungry. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Our expression, skin and bones, I think is pretty close. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. That's talking about loneliness. The pelican out in the desert country all by himself. The lone owl in a deserted building or something like that. And he says, I watch, and I'm like a sparrow alone upon the housetop, just one sparrow. And this psalmist feels all alone in his sickness. It reminds you almost of the book of Job. Mine enemies reproach me. Here's the opposition. All the day, they that are mad against me are sworn against me. I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. He's just crushed by his sickness, his loneliness, and the opposition that's come. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. He feels that God has cast him down. He says, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass that's been cut. Thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. This is his prayer for the city of God, for Jerusalem. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, the stones of Jerusalem. God's people loved this city. And he says the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord when Jerusalem's rebuilt, and all the kings of the earth are going to fear God. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. God's going to rebuild Jerusalem. This may be under Ezra and Nehemiah. It may be a partial rebuilding sometime early. See, we're not even sure who wrote Psalm 102. It says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. God will hear the prayer of these folks who are in trouble. This shall be written for the generation to come. The people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Here's the psalmist. This sound part sounds like David, doesn't it? Concerned about coming generations. You and I should have that kind of concern, too. That's why Sunday school's important. That's why the church is important. That's why teaching children and having family prayers is so important. It says, he that looketh down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, did the Lord behold the earth. God looked down and saw. And then, in verse 20, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, the slavery of Egypt, maybe, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. God looked down and saw the problems of his people, and he's answering their prayer. Now, it says, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, this is when God's going to really speak to them. It says, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Now the psalmist is back to his own sickness. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Now, in this next section, he's talking about the coming of Christ. I'm sure about this because the first chapter of Hebrews, verses 10 and 12, apply these verses to Christ. Verses 25 to 7 of Psalm 102. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. Now these words are applied to Christ, remember, in Hebrews. You say God created the world. Yes, through Christ. In the first chapter of John, Jesus is introduced as the Word of God. And it says, without him was not anything made that was made. Here's Christ as the Creator with God. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. The whole universe, they shall perish. Thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. They'll be changed. Some of this may be at the time of Christ's coming back. But God's people are going to endure, and God's going to endure. It's really about God enduring forever beyond His creation. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God is eternal. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. God's going to bless families of godly people the way He blessed the family of Abraham. Now, Psalm 103 is one of the better known psalms, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of grateful praise, and the heading says a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, that's really the theme of it, and it's called a thanksgiving psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. James, in the book of James, is going to say, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Forget not all God's benefits. What does God do? Well, He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, that would be a whole topic in itself. God sent Christ to be the Savior. Isaiah says God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God gives us every good and every perfect gift. He who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God gives us food, and food enables people to have renewed strength, like the young eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. In Egypt, God has His hand on His people, even when they are in trouble. And it says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Here's God's revelation. Here's God speaking. These Israelites learned so much in their way through the wilderness. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's forgiving, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, contend with us, neither will He keep His anger forever, as we deserve. He'll not accuse us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. God hasn't given us the judgment that we really deserve. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities, just saying it over again. God could have judged all men and punished them all. That's what we deserve. And yet He's not dealt with us after our sins. He has provided salvation through Christ. And then verse 11 says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Fear Him now in the sense of respect and awe, reverent worship. And those folks that fear Him are going to be delivered from their sin. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And then as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Here's the permanence of forgiveness. Back in the book of Leviticus, there's the story of the activities of the Day of Atonement once a year, in which they had the special worship service remembering God's forgiveness. And at one point in this service, the high priest is going to put his hands on the head of the scapegoat, and he's going to confess all the sins of the whole people. Then a person is going to take the scapegoat out into the desert so far that he'll never get back and never be seen again. And this is a picture of how God has removed our sins from us. The expression here, as far as the east is from the west. Now, he doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. You see, if you go north to North Pole, you'll immediately start going south again. And if you go all the way south to South Pole, then you'll start coming north again. But when you go from east to west, you just keep on going. And east is always east, and west is always west. And so as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us through the death and suffering of Christ. Then, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God in the Old Testament is compared to a father. Hosea says, out of Egypt have I called my son. God, a father to these people. In the New Testament, we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. The father is concerned about his children. The father provides for his children. The father loves his children. So the Lord pitieth. He loves and is concerned now about them that fear him, that worship him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. God knows what we are. He knows that we're weak and helpless and things like that, that we're creatures, that we're dust. As for man, his days are as grass. Man's life is a short, temporary thing. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, he grows up. The wind passes over it, the hot, dry wind of that part of the world, and it's gone. It's just dried up. The place thereof shall know it no more. It dies. Man's life is temporary, like that of the flower in Palestine. But, by way of contrast, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It's permanent upon them that fear him. Here's that expression a third time. Those folks that fear God in reverent respect and awe, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now, this doesn't mean that the children are going to be saved just because the parents are. Too many examples of, where that doesn't work in the Bible. The children sometimes of the godly kings were ungodly and things like that. But the mercy of the Lord is upon families, and there are families where people have been Christians for many generations. If you live in the eastern part of this country, you can find them more quickly than out west or central part of the country, something like that. His righteousness unto children's children. Each of the children needs to hear the gospel and accept it for himself. Yes, but God's righteousness goes to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those that remember his commandments to do them. Now, don't take that to mean doing the commandments will provide salvation. The commandments are the terms of the covenant by which Israel agreed to be God's people, and these folks who are God's people and live like God's people, they are the ones that are going to receive his salvation. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is sovereign. God reigns. God sits upon his throne. We need to remember that as we listen to the news, read the newspaper. God has prepared his throne in the heavens. God permits evil. Psalm 76 says he permits that evil that will praise him. He's going to let Joseph be sold into Egypt. We're going to have across the page. That's going to say God sent him to Egypt. Well, it was the jealous brothers that sold him. Yes, but God's kingdom rules over all. It's not that God makes most everything work together for good. No, God takes the worst thing that man ever did, the crucifixion of Christ. And out of that he brings the New Testament and the church and salvation and most all the good things that we've ever enjoyed. And this says his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts. That's still the angels. Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, all God's works are going to praise him. Psalm 19 is going to say, the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars bless God by being stars. The things down here on this world, they bless God by being the creation that he made them. And then David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Man is part of God's creation, and man should bless and praise God. Psalm 103, a psalm of thanksgiving. Very often it's read on our Thanksgiving Day, and that's very appropriate. But it's the idea that all of God's creation should praise him constantly. Now, Psalm 104 is sometimes called a nature psalm. It talks about the greatness of God. It reminds you of our hymn, How Great Thou Art. Here's a psalm, again, of praise, and most of it's about, again, how nature praises God. It has a common introduction, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And then it says, Who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. In other words, the first thing God created in the first chapter of Genesis was light. And the light is here compared to God's garment, God's covering. Of course, God doesn't have coats and suits like we do, but this is talking about his glory. And God stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the clouds, in the waters, it says here, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Let's remember now that this is poetry talking about the greatness of God, comparing God to things down here on earth. And God created heaven, this doesn't mean that he literally had the beams on the clouds or something like that, but that's the way it appears. And it says, he makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. God in his greatness has the angels to serve them. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? God made the world something permanent. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. God put oceans all round the world. The waters stood above the mountains at the time of the flood. At thy rebuke they fled. God caused the seas to be formed, and the waters seemed to flee to the oceans. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. The waters flowed down the mountains in the long ago, into what we call the oceans. And then thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. Oh, in a storm, the waves can rise 20, 30, even 40 feet high, something like that. Yes, but the ocean stays in the ocean. The water does. God made it that way. And then it talks about how these waters, how God sends springs into the valleys. God lets it snow up on the mountains. The water soaks in. And in many parts of Palestine, there are springs the year round. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. Now from these springs now that God has provided, by them shall the fowl of the heaven have their habitation. By these little spring branches, the birds over there still live, build their nest, and sing among the branches. And this is praise to God, the Creator. And then he talks about the rain. He watereth the hills. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for cattle. God causes grass to grow for the animals and herb. That's all the plants. It might be grain or something in the garden. He causes herb to grow for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And God provides the wine, the grape juice, makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine. They had cosmetics, but it's more of a medicine for sunburn and things like that, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Here's God's provision for his creation in this nature psalm. God's provided for the birds. God's provided for the animals. God's brought up the continents as we know them. God has caused the right things to grow for man's need. And the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. God has provided for all his creation. And this is a long psalm, and it's going to go on, and we can come to it in our next study. David is so conscious. That is if David wrote it. Now, we're not sure about the author again. But this psalmist is so conscious that all of creation is God's deliberate work, which he has provided for his creation. May we see it that way, day by day.